ESPN telecast tonight, if you like the national perspective, as opposed to the Astros' own broadcast tonight. John Shambi, David Ross, and then the analytics guy, Mike Petriello. You can read a lot of his stuff via MLB.com. Does also, I say this flatteringly because I think of myself as baseball wonky. StatCast podcast, and now the ESPN baseball stuff, doing a game each week. I want to say it was around playoff time. We had Mike on for the first time, and, well, I enjoyed it. So with him in town, we tracked him down. Mike, Charlie here in the studio, and I did stumble across this. I will presume it wasn't through any sort of deliberate planning of yours. If it has been, fake it to the contrary. Your first trip to Texas, is that right?
It is correct. If you don't count transferring in the Dallas airport on the way to Hawaii 20 years ago, which I don't, this is my first time in Texas, believe it or not.
So first impressions of Minute Maid Park and our humidity.
Oh, the humidity is absolutely true. I've enjoyed that. Minute Maid Park was great. I went last night after getting some nice local fajitas with a local friend of mine, and the park was really cool. Like I said, I'd never been there before. We sat out in the bleachers right under the giant video scoreboard in right field, so kind of right behind Josh Reddick out there. And I really enjoyed it. You know, it's a cool vibe, and the people really seemed to know it. And I was not prepared for how loud that cannon shot was going to be when there were home runs, I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, of course, they're going off like rarely before, the way things are going around baseball this season. Well, where should I begin? I have a whole bunch of scattershot things, so let's go with this for recency non-bias. 15 years from now, whose career will you rather have wanted to have? Yordan Alvarez or Eloy Jimenez?
That's a great question. There's probably not a wrong answer to that. I think I would say Eloy Jimenez, just because I think he's probably going to be a little bit of a better defender, maybe a better all-around hitter. I don't know if you saw the home run he hit last night, 462 feet at dead center. But listen, Yordan Alvarez, what he's done in his first two games is incredibly impressive. You know, you had a little bit, I don't want to say concern, that's not the right word, but just the way that the ball was flying out of the Pacific Coast League, it seemed like everybody was hitting 1,000 homers there. But he's really backed it up. I mean, the power is legit. There's no doubt about it. I think the road's going to be All-Stars really soon.
Yeah, you know, and obviously teensy-weensy sample size at the Major League level, but the bomb he hit left of center field in his debut on Sunday, look, he's been blasting him over all outfield locations through the minors, but to see it at the Major League level, and then that pitch last night that he went down below the strike zone, and whether it's wrists, forearms, both of the above more, and then just flip that in the stands. I know did you come close to catching that?
Yeah, that home run he hit last night was really impressive. As you said, he went under the strike zone. It was actually tied for the lowest pitch any Astros hit out of the park this year, 1.4 feet off the ground. Michael Brantley had one similar. And that's not easy to do. And it's certainly not easy to do when you've been in the big leagues for like 10 minutes. I wouldn't say that, you know, he set the precedent of a home run every single night, clearly. But, you know, the way the Astros offense has been going with everybody injured, it seems like there's going to be room for him here. He's not going to play first base. He might play a little bit of outfield, but I would be surprised if he is not in the lineup somewhere, either DH or corner outfield spot every single night. And it's almost unfair. I mean, you saw how good this lineup was when Springer and Altuve and Correa and everybody were around. And now you just get to add this guy. It's like an embarrassment of riches for this franchise constantly.
No doubt. The one other young seeming hitting prodigy I wanted to fold in here, Mike, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who will be in town with Kevin Biggio and the rest of the Blue Jays this weekend. Look, Vlad, not everyone comes up and kills it right away. Mike Trout scuffled among many, 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 many others. The greats will figure it out. But how worried should the Blue Jays be about that kid's weight, that he is 20, whether he's going to pigeonhole himself as a DH or as a bad third baseman? I'm not worried that he's only hitting 240, but I'm worried about a kid being as heavy as he is this early.
Yeah, there were some concerns about that. Clearly, they asked him to work on that. He's been about a league average hitter. You know, it isn't that impressive, but as you said, he's so young, and not everybody comes up and kills it right away. I have zero concerns about his bat. But I do think you're right. I think he's going to be maybe like a Miguel Cabrera type, just advanced like 10 years. Like, he's only 20, and he's already in his age 20 season, and he's already kind of showing some of these signs. Like, he's made some nice plays at third base. But it's very difficult for me to see him being a long-term third baseman. You know, maybe that means he plays first base, and that's fine, but it's probably going to be a DH. And if you're going to be a full-time DH in your mid-20s, you've put a lot of weight on that bat. Now, fortunately for him, I think that he absolutely has the talent to back it up. He can be, you know, a Nelson Cruz type or something like that with the bat. But I agree with you. It's a little concerning that this early we are already talking about this. And I feel like this is going to dog him for the next couple of years.
Not exactly random, but I'm just sort of spitballing on a couple of items here. Any idea? I mean, is this an absolute career crisis for Jose Ramirez with the Indians? They did nothing basically to improve an outfield, though they're actually starting to get a little production from a couple of guys there. Ramirez was building an early Hall of Fame track, 24, 25 years old, couple monster seasons, and he basically went into a hitting coma, I don't know, early mid-August last year, and did nothing against the Astros in the division series. So far, he's a disaster this year at the plate. I mean, 26, 27 years old, you're not supposed to suddenly lose all your skills. Indians are, you know, on the fringe of the wild card race still in that. But I'm just curious, if any thought on Jose Ramirez? It is off a cliff from where he was just a year ago.
You really nailed it when you pointed out that this didn't just start this year. This started the final, you know, 6 or 8 weeks or so of last year and into the playoffs. And it's almost impossible to remember that before this, we were talking about a guy who was on track to have one of the greatest seasons by any third baseman in history. Like, that's how good he was. Running, hitting, fielding, all of it. And it's just been a disaster. And this is not a slump anymore. You know, this is a crossing off season. It's now the first half of this season. If I had a good answer as to what this was, I would probably be working for the Indians right now, because it seems like nobody really understands it. You know, he doesn't seem like he's hurt. Like, he had a little bit of a leg thing in spring training, but that doesn't set him back. It wouldn't surprise me if he was a guy, he's not that big, right? He's not like a huge Aaron Judge type kind of player. If he was, you know, so interested in hitting for power that maybe he was kind of selling out for it and screwed up his swing in some way, but it's just pure speculation. Like, I've dug into him a couple of times. There's just nothing satisfying. And as you kind of pointed out, that's a disaster for Cleveland because they had no outfield. Lindor got injured, and obviously some of the pitchers, you know, Kluber got hurt and Carrasco's out, and you can't control those things. But this is not a fluke. I mean, they are 10 or 11 games out in the Central, and I have a really hard time seeing them come back. I mean, Minnesota's for real. And they needed Ramirez to be the all-star player he once was, and he wasn't, and all this other stuff has gone wrong. I think they have kind of closed their window now.
Yeah, by no means dead and buried for making the playoffs this year, but the Indians are probably a bet against at this point. Where are you on the reigning World Series champions who dipped back down to 500 last night? The Texas Rangers, 3 games in front of Boston after beating them.
Well, I think you should give a little bit of credit to the Rangers because they were really playing a lot better than I think most people expected them to. So it's partially a credit to them. But yeah, you're right. The Red Sox got off to a really slow start. And then for a couple weeks, it really seemed like they were putting it back together. You know, like, Chris Sale looked better and JD Martinez started to mash. And, you know, even Jackie Bradley's been a little bit better. And it just hasn't really turned into wins. And it's kind of weird because you look up and down the roster and there's still a ton of talent, you know, the exception being Bradley got off to that horrible start. But Bogarts has been great and Rafael Devers has had a really like nice season. It's nothing you can put your finger on. I mean, I know the bullpen was supposed to be this big problem, but it hasn't been that bad. Like, Brandon Workman's been phenomenal. And Marcus Walden's been great. And Matt Barnes has been very good. It just seems like there is something missing, and I don't want to just, you know, take the easy way out and point to the World Series hangover. I still think they're going to be a wild card team. Like, it would not surprise me at all if we get a Yankees-Red Sox wild card game, which would be super fun. But, you know, they're a 500 team right now. They're not going to be able to coast this because the Rangers look like they're for real. The Indians are still in that mix. The A's are starting to heat up. I'd be surprised if we don't see the Red Sox in October just because of the talent level. But you're right. It's shocking to see where they are right now.
Talking with Mike Petriello, part of the ESPN telecast tonight of Astros and Brewers. Touch upon your role in the telecast. I mean, it's a challenge for Major League Baseball to get casual fans to watch games not involving their teams. But there will be plenty of Astros fans who opt for the national coverage tonight who catch you for the first time. I presume you're having a blast. Can you highlight what you're adding to the mix?
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. This is the second time I'm doing a game here with David Ross and John Schiavone. We did one at Yankee Stadium a few weeks back. And it's really just to add a different perspective. Like, I'm very aware that this is a game. It's an entertainment product, and I'm certainly not going to come and drop a million numbers and turn it into a math lesson or anything like that because nobody wants that. But I think if you look at the way the game is being played today, and especially if you look at the Houston Astros and how successful they've been, you know, you've got to be able to understand and explain some of the things they're doing. You know, so maybe you can understand a little bit about, oh, why is Justin Verlander using his fastball in this way? Or is Lorenzo Cain playing deeper? And if so, for what reason? I mean, there's so many numbers in the game, and they are what teams use. So really the goal here is to help explain that to the fans, you know, why teams are doing the things they are and how players are successful and maybe show them some hidden ways to appreciate these guys, because I really do think we have the best athletes in baseball history at this point in time.
Defensive evaluation has come forward in leaps and bounds in recent years. I think still overall behind offense, but the gap is closed. And I know you're part of what's basically just very recently been rolled out in furthering the outfield, the evaluation of defensive play in the outfield. Jake Marisnik's not an everyday player, but the eye test certainly is. He's a Gold Glove level center fielder. Can you touch upon kind of the three-prong evaluation method now for defensive play in the outfield?
Yeah, we just rolled out a new stat that's called Jump, and it measures how far a fielder goes, an outfielder goes, in the first 3 seconds. And what that does is it helps us get past just the eye test a little bit. And I think we've always known, going back to when we were kids, that you can see a guy make a great diving catch, and that's exciting and it's fun and you should cheer for it. But a lot of times it's not necessarily a great play because maybe he had a poor reaction or he took a terrible route. Whereas a guy who's a much better outfielder just gets there, just makes it look easy. And I feel like that guy should get credit too. So that's what we're trying to measure now, is how fast do you go in the right direction in the first 3 seconds? What's your jump before you even have to get to full running speed? And it's kind of cool. Like, you'll see some guys you expect, like Marisnik is very good at this. Kevin Kiermaier is very good at this. But it also helps explain how some guys who aren't necessarily very fast are very good outfielders. Like Ender and Ciarte is a great example. Corey Dickerson, who won a Gold Glove last year, not terribly fast, gets great jumps, great reads. And I think that's something baseball people have always known about. We can finally measure it. And you can find it at BaseballSavant.com. It's brand new. I think it's pretty cool. I'm excited to see how it plays out with people.
Yeah, BaseballSavant.com. If you get into this stuff, just the depth of material you can find there is fantastic. A couple of things, Mike, I want to ask you about before I let you go. Dallas Keuchel, I guess it sounds like one more tune-up start in the minors. What sort of impact do you think he'll make with the Braves, who are in a pitched battle with the Phillies in the NL East? And then, of course, there's the two-front war these days of a wild card race also.
I think he's a good addition for the Braves because, as you kind of mentioned, they're playing really well. The offense is coming alive, and they've got a lot of talent in that rotation. But the rotation is young and inconsistent. If you look at the veterans there, Kevin Gausman's been terrible, and Mike Fulpinevich has been a little inconsistent. And you have some of these younger guys like Max Fried, who I really like a lot. Mike Soroka has been incredible. They're young. You don't know if you can count on them for the whole season. And what you have in Keuchel is, he's not an ace. I don't look at him as a number one starter anymore, but I do look at him as a solid above average guy who will be out there every five days and give you a chance to win. And there's probably about 10 other teams in the game who really could have used a guy like that. Like, the Yankees could have used him. The Twins could have used him. So it's really a big deal for the Braves. I think he's the perfect fit at the perfect time for a team that has a real shot at making the playoffs.
To take it back to the Astros, a couple things. One, Jeff Luhnow can choose to do nothing completely defensively. They're 46-22. They could roll through and win the World Series. Of course, the nature of postseason baseball, anyone they play in the division round could take them out 3 out of 5. Verlander's your game one starter. Garrett Cole's your number two starter, barring injury or the unforeseen coming along the next few months. What do you think of, say, Marcus Stroman, Madison Bumgarner? I would think certainly Trevor Bauer, if the Indians were to put him in play. If you are the Astros, would you aggressively seek someone that, all right, he's my game three starter above Wade Miley, who's been very good, above Brad Peacock, who's very good? What would you be weighing in terms of prospect cost versus the Pat Hand versus let me add one more bullet to my holster?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. And I think they probably will do something like that. I don't see Bauer coming here just for all the personal reasons and the relationships he has with those guys. But as you said, Stroman would be an incredible fit. Bumgarner would be a great fit. All that makes sense. But I think the thing I would do if I were them is look to bolster the pitching staff from the back end. They don't really have a reliable left-handed reliever. They had Tony Sipp for a couple of years, and he left. And they've had Framber Valdez, who's been okay, and now he's starting. But I would love to see them go get, like, Brad Hand from the Indians. I think they've already got a really, really good bullpen, with Osuna and Harris and Ryan Presley. If you get Brad Hand, then it doesn't really matter if your game three start only goes, like, 4 or 5 innings, because then you'll have an untouchable bullpen. And they don't really have a good lefty option right now. So I think if I were running the show, that's probably the first place I'd look.
All right, lastly, 101 wins 2 seasons ago en route to winning the World Series. Franchise record 103 wins last year. They're on 109 win pace now and just hanging out waiting on Altuve and Springer and then Correa getting back. A dart at the board. Where do you think they come in after 162? How many wins?
Well, I like that question a lot. I'm going to say 106. 7. I mean, I think that the talent is there, and they're going to get these guys back. And, you know, how many teams could suffer all these injuries and not only not fall apart, but still play pretty well? You know, it just goes to the overall depth of this team. And not only are they going to get the injured guys back, as we just mentioned, they're going to get somebody at the deadline, whether it's a starter or a reliever or a position player. They're going to get somebody. And I really think that they're going to run away with this division. I'm going to go with 107.
Mike Petriello on the ESPN telecast tonight. Again, specifically the website, baseballsavant.com. In conjunction with StatCast work that he does. Mike, appreciate the time and insight. Enjoy the stay, and hope to talk again. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right,